Blog Talk Radio.
When this baby hits 38 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
I feel the need for speed.
Wow, he's really fast, isn't he?
Yeah, buddy.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time. Nothing else matters, not the mortgage, not the store, not my team and all their bullshit. For those 10 seconds of love, I'm free.
Happy Hump Day. Oops, it would help if my microphone is on. Happy Hump Day, guys. Welcome to V8S Series Live, the only show dedicated to you, the V8S Series enthusiast. It is Hump Day, and we are going to be talking to Dean Cornfed Vargo tonight, old friend of the show, friend of mine. Been around for many years in the V8S Series scene here, and he's building a monster inside his garage, so we'll try and get a little information out of him. He is a grudge racer, so don't expect too explicit of answers. But so anyway, we got that coming up. Just want to give a shout out to Nick Pluniak. I don't know if you guys saw Dirty 30. He got into a really serious accident this past week, and we wish him a speedy recovery. He didn't get too badly hurt, but the Dirty 30 is no more. And that is very sad, but his safety equipment worked. Everything worked, and he walked away from it. A couple other guys were not so lucky this past week, and our hearts go out to their families, that people that, you know, that they left behind. It is a dangerous sport out there, and you never know when you're strapped behind the wheel if you're gonna walk away, and that's a scary project, a prospect. I can talk, but you know, it is what it is, and we do the things we do because we love to do them, no matter what the risk. I go outside and I breathe without a mask on and every day, and I'm okay. COVID crazy. Everybody's gone COVID crazy. My jurisdiction here in Colorado, they finally are forcing us to wear masks, not out in public, but, well, out in public, if you're in a public dwelling, building, you have to wear a mask, which I find absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. It drives me crazy. I got one client wanting me to climb in and out of a window to work on their house, which I'm not sure I'm going to take that. It's just, that's just silliness. But anyway, enough of that. Guys, give a call, 516-531-9547 if you want to talk to Dean or myself, or you just want to let us know what you have going on inside your garage. The number again is 516-531-9547. So without further ado, we have Mr. Dean Cornfed Vargo. What's up, Dean?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, brother. You know, and we live in crazy times right now.
I feel you. I heard that.
So while everybody's
lost their mind.
Oh yeah. So while everybody's cowering under their blankets inside their homes, hermetically sealed, Dean's been out there in his garage. Building a monster, haven't you, Dean? You just couldn't start. You couldn't stop with one thing. You just went front to back and just started upgrading everything.
Yeah, got bored. sitting at home doing nothing, man. And I got too big a hurry on the front half and had too much time on my hands and decided it was time to tear the back half apart, too.
Oh, yeah. The last time I saw that truck was, Christ, we were just talking about it, maybe 7 years ago, something like that. And tell us what the setup was back then, because for those of you who don't know, Dean showed up at, we invited him down. He's up in Michigan, right?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, all right. So we invited him down. He came down to Pennsylvania. They have the Carlisle All Truck Nationals out there, and Dean says he's coming down. I'm excited because Dean's, just a cool guy, a great drag racer. And what shows up is Dean in his truck pulling his S10, and this guy's got a 55-gallon drum of E85 that he's brought down. He travels with his own fuel, which I found was hilarious, but we just had a great time. We went over the drag strip, had some fun over there. Tech gave him a little bit of problems with what was he busted
right.
Your chops about that, your helmet, and I think your seat belt or something.
To the cage.
Yeah, yeah.
The seat wasn't bolted to the cage right or something.
Yeah, yeah. But they turned out to be real cool over that Pennsylvania track, and they let you race, and it was a cool time, man. You definitely know when Dean's coming because that thing's loud as hell, and it's pounding the ground, and you smell corn. So,
right.
But
it helped. We had about a 10-15 mile drive between where I was staying and where all you guys were staying. So I got to cruise a little bit while we was in Pennsylvania with it.
Oh yeah. You had Eddie Grimes out there with his twin turbo LS beating the street over there, and it's always a good time. Dean and I were talking. We have to have another event going on because it's cool. We to get together. It's all like a big family reunion. You've heard me say that before with other guys. It's a cool feeling when we all get together. So Dean, tell us. I know you got a new setup, and we'll go over that. But that truck at the time, it was running good. So. So what all have you done with the truck? What did it used to be? What can it be? What is it now? Or at least close to what is it now?
I mean, back then when we was at South Mountain, there in Pennsylvania, I mean, it was still a 377 with an iron-headed small block. I was running that motor then when I ran Gary Sparks. Then my nitrous system wasn't working. So, I mean, it was just going, I can't even remember, like 640 in the eighth or something. It wasn't very fast. I mean, it was fast, but not very fast. This is, as could have been. Since then, it got upgraded to my last small block, which was that 427 aluminum headed 23-degree motor. It was all standard location. Off-the-shelf parts. When I say off-the-shelf, I mean literally off-the-shelf. I mean, there was a guy in Oklahoma did the head work for me on a set of Brodex heads, Eric Wayne Gardner. But other than that, I mean, it was a 11-to-1 low-compression motor, and it run good. I mean, for a small block, I mean, it went – our best time with it was finally was an 880 at 148 mile an hour. That was on, like, 200. Hopefully now with this new motor, it'll be a little bit better than that. Got a little more cubic inch. So, but other than that, I mean, the truck's basically the same other than, now that I switched the back half around, put the big block in, swapped out the small block, put the big block in. Weight's still the same. We're still right about 3,200 pounds with me in it at race weight. All glass, all steel. So, should be fun. Hopefully it'd be a little bit faster, though.
A little bit. Now, you had the small block, and you were saying you went big block there. We won't say the cubic inches, but so was that a big pain? I mean, going from small block to big block stuff, or how you go through any hassles there?
No, actually, I mean, it was a direct replacement because I don't run motor mounts, or nothing like that. So with the engine plate, it was basically pull the small block out, set the big block in, move the motor plate mounts around a little bit just for the, you know, for where that mounted up. I wound up moving the transmission a little bit, kind of squaring things out for the headers. I had to relocate the front down bars for the roll cage for the new headers because they're obviously bigger. But they were a little bit lower in a different location. So I wound up cutting those out and had to redo those. But, I mean, other than that, a big block actually fits in there just as good or better than a small block. I mean, with no problem. I take that back. A little bit of issue that it run into is right there by the master cylinder. I wound up moving the firewall about an inch right there, just above the throttle pedal, between the throttle and the master cylinder, just for the valve cover clearance. But other than that, fits in there beautiful.
Nice. Now, you were saying that you narrowed the frame in the back too, right?
Yeah, we just got done doing that. We're waiting on parts now, basically. I cut it off right there behind the cab. I used the stock frame rails off of another truck to push it in each side 5 inches. So that way nobody can give me junk about not having stock frame rails.
Okay.
I cut 5 inches or 7 inches frame rail off of another truck for each side, so basically 14 inches, so I could push the stock frame rails in. And then once we got done doing that, box that all in and got it all done, we decided to, with the new housing that's going in, that we needed more space for the center section. So that's where the risers and truss come in there for the top. Moved all that stuff around.
Yeah, so I saw those fancy truss.
A little bit of the stock frame. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw those fancy gussets that you made and welded up in there. That's cool as hell.
Yeah, we needed a little more room. The 9-inch that I'm having made is one of the Fab 9s. So the center section's kind of tall, a lot taller than the 12-bolt that I had in it for the last 22 years. So, time to upgrade. A little more power, needs something a little bit stronger. Everybody telling me that that 12-bolt just not going to hold up as well as that I think it should. So we upgraded to, heavier rear end.
Gotcha. I tell you what, that truck's mean, man. I always used to love that, seeing that truck run. That's what that's your old – you still got the spare parts racing on there?
No, I took that off. That group kind of fell apart. I mean, it was just me running around with it on there, so I just put Vargo Racing on it.
Nice.
So it's basically just me, Vargo Racing, Corn Fed, Vargo Motors, I do what I do and, go on my own name.
Nice. So what else we got? You're running nitrous on that motor, I see. Now, what's with all those regulators? Coming from a layman, what's all the regulators on the front? Yeah, because everybody's saying you got like three stages and six of these and six regulators, and it seems like you're running a little bit more than one stage. My Lord.
No, okay. I've been running over the last few years because after I put a MagnaFuel 500 pump onto it, it pushes like 30, I think it's preset at 31, 32 pounds to the fuel lug. And I've been running a injection, like fuel injection regulators. Well, on the nitrous side, it'll deadhead and it'll push fuel past it for pressure. So what we did this year, I finally got a hold of MagnaFuel to just try to figure it out, but I put the first regulator, there's a MagnaFuel 2 port, and it basically cuts the fuel pressure way down to where a standard regulator can handle the pressure, right? Uh-huh. So it hitting the bottom of the MagnaFuel pressure is 31 pounds, and then coming out of there, going into the fuel lug, I only have 13 pounds, which a normal quick fuel or whatever normal Holley regulator can handle, and cut it down without going over, you know what I mean, not raising on the pressure if it's just deadheaded.
Okay.
So then each of the three regulators that are on top, one feed each bowl, front bowl, rear bowl of my carb, and then one regulator feeds the nitrous plate.
Nitrous, okay. All right. It looks like a hell of a setup on there.
Yeah, I don't like trying to feed one bowl off or the whole carburetor off of one regulator. With E85, it's a little bit different. You know, I like to, because I run dash 8 line off the regulator to the bowl, so I like to make sure that each bowl is getting fed plenty. I've ran into it before where it'll start to lean out a little bit because it's not the feeding the bowls properly. I'm on one of my old motors, so ever since I had that issue where as soon as you hit the throttle, you start to lose fuel pressure, or you can watch the fuel pressure gauge fluctuate.
Yeah.
So we went to two regulator system, one for each, and I've never had an issue with it since. So just stayed that way. You know, I don't want to be lean 7,500, 8,000 RPM. You know, on a spray.
No, spraying nitrous.
Right. Lean is not a good, it's not your friend.
yeah. Lean is mean, better than burn it down. Yeah, man.
Right.
I remember when I was spraying that that stupid little low swirl port 350, and we didn't tighten one of the spark plugs, and that cylinder went lean. It did a little damage. Okay. That motor didn't hang on too much longer after that.
Imagine getting extra air in there.
Yeah, I can't imagine what you're running. Jesus, you know, all that horsepower. So, I'd ask you, what's that?
I mean, with the small block, even with this motor so far right now, I mean, we're only putting 200 shot to it. It's not, I don't put a whole lot of nitrous to them. I keep them pretty reasonable. I mean, most of the plates, I still run old school nitrous systems. I still got an NOS Big Shot plate on there. It's only good to 275.
Oh, okay.
With gas is good to, I think, 450 or something like that, 500. But when you switch to fuel, because it's so much thicker, it won't flow as much. So you gotta, when you have them flowed on a bench, it'll, max on it. It's like, I think 250, 275 is what we came up to.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a hell of a thing. All right, we got our first caller. Want to talk to you, Mr. Vargo. Area code 770. You are live on the air.
What's up, Rob? This is Nick. How you doing, man?
Hey, Nick. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Just got out of the shower, seen your show was on, so I figured I'd call in.
Very cool, Nick Turner. You've been doing some cow tracks over there and changing your rear end out and getting your stuff all ready for the track.
Yes, sir. Finally, I got my cow tracks put on a few weeks ends ago, and I kind of caught a lot of hell with that deal by myself. But
yeah, you did. We were going back and forth. I was trying to give you a little pointers and stuff like that. All the stuff I could tell you how I kind of figured it out for a backyard mechanic.
Yes, that's me. I'm a parts changer. I'm not no fabricator, but I can't wait to try out them Caltracks. I've been looking all night trying to figure out if it's better to flash a converter or load the converter. I've been actually seeing Dean's post. I was reading some of them that he likes to flash it. Is that right, Dean?
Yes, sir. I like to flash it right off of idle.
For the layman out there, what is the difference? Let's get technical here.
I'll let Dean explain that. He's a pro.
I don't know about no pro. Between flashing it and being on the brake.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you're flashing it, you know, you'd be just sitting there at an idle or just above idle. You know, let's say your truck or car or whatever, you know, it's idling at on its own in neutral or park at 1,200. You know, normally I'll roll up to the line. I might bring it up to, you know, maybe 1,500, just enough to get if it, you know, give it a little bit in case there's, you know, you don't get no stumble in it.
Yeah.
Or if you took, you know, then leave all in, you know, bring your nitrous on, bring everything as soon as you hit the floorboard right now. And then that's basically flashing it. So you slam up on your converter. So if you got 4,000, 4,500, 5,000, you know, it flashes right up there and you're on your way. If you load your converter, you sit there on the brake, your foot brake, load that thing up. It loads your suspension. It loads everything, you know, loads the motor, loads. It generally makes everything unhappy. Because it twists, you know, gets your car all just twisted out of shape. The suspension's loaded. Everything's loaded. And when you, as soon as you let off the brake, it's going to bog everything. Unless you're hitting it with a ton of power all of a sudden. But, you know, it just don't shock the suspension. It don't shock the tires as well to leave as hard as it could. You know, you're going to suffer in a 60 foot.
Yep.
Especially if it's hooking real hard.
Yeah, last time I went out, it's actually my first time ever racing. I've been building this truck for, like 5 or 6 years, Rob, and I finally got to go. And I actually loaded the – that was my first 8 passes in December, so I loaded it every time, Dean. And, I mean, my first pass, I was literally spinning before the last green went down, you know. So,
right.
I was a very, very green, but I actually went 799 at 88 mile an hour. So,
nice.
Pretty happy with that. Pretty happy, you know.
Yeah.
I only got a 2,500 stall.
Right.
No Caltrax at the time, so I'm hoping I change that 1.87 to about a 1.67 60 foot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Put a little nitrous on it. 1 mile
per hour should be. I wish, but I'm afraid I'm going to burn my motor up like Rob did with that old TDI motor.
to be honest, that thing was that thing probably had 150, 180,000 miles on it anyway, so it wasn't exactly healthy before it started spraying it, but that's a different story. Now, Dean, are you...
I just bought my first set of jets, so I'm really just trying to get the feel for drag racing before I even think about spraying it. But it is built for spray.
Yeah.
I could spray it if I wanted to, but the team would kill it. That's my.
I'll tell you what.
I guess,
some of the fastest nitrous motors for stock motors are wore out old motors. I'm gonna tell you some. Loose is fast.
Yeah.
We had a couple 305s. You put 100-150 shot on them, them things roll out. For years, you know, you tune it a little fat, and cast pistons, whatever, just junkyard motors you wouldn't even think would run with stock heads, let them go.
You
just spin them up 6,500, 7,000 RPM, let them go down the road.
Whew. Let them eat.
I think that was some old Vortex or something.
I don't know. Older than that.
Older,
back to
the Vortex.
Oh, yeah, before Vortex was around.
Oh, no, Camel Hump friggin' heads and stuff. Of course,
yeah,
that stuff.
Exactly.
Yep.
862 truck head, you know, Camelbacks or, you know, some 262, what are they, 262 or 2-something another, the old turbo heads that they had on 327s.
Mm-hmm.
You wind those babies up, let them go with a solid cam in them, you know, or something like that. You just put top half on, or just like I say, go to junkyard, find the old wore out old truck motor 305 or something, hit that baby with a whole pile of nitrous and let it go till it blows.
That would be a good way to learn, you know, just to figure out how good your tune is. But I guess the key, I was reading a little bit about nitrous, the key with, I guess, any kind of tune, and even just trying to get your air mixture, is getting a consistent pressure, right, Dean? You know, I got a mechanical fuel pump. I hear a lot of it, you know, it rises. With that mechanical fuel pump, it wouldn't do very good with really even trying to tune it on natural aspirated. I don't think it would do very good. I don't have no fuel pressure regulator. I don't have no return. I just have a manual fuel pump.
Right. You wouldn't be using that to run your nitrous anyway. I mean, that would just run your motor. I recommend everybody. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys that get away with it, and I've seen it happen plenty of times that, you know, if you got a big enough fuel pump, you know, you can feed the motor and a nitrous system on one pump.
Yeah.
But I would dedicate a system, you know, whether it's a Holly Red, Holly Blue, a Holly Black, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Dedicate a small system just to the nitrous. That way you can get all that set. You got to maintain, you know, fuel pressure above at least 5.5-6 pounds.
Yeah, I got you.
Other than that, I mean, as long as you run, no matter what you do, as long as you keep, you know, even if you run the system a little fat, and then when I say that, you know, bump the fuel pressure just a tiny bit or bump your, you know, if you got an NOS system, generally the older systems were pretty fat anyway, but as long as you keep your timing, you know, decent, man, you can get away with 150 shot on a cast piston for years.
Holy moly. Just as long as you know what to get doing.
Now here's a point. I don't know if it's if what you think about it. Now I thought it was the cat's ass basically when I was running it on mine. Of course I'm a Holly dealer, so I, you know, I got their full setup to run on my truck, but I was running their the Max X or not Max X, the what was it? They're a progressive controller. That's got, now do you run a progressive controller, Dean?
Yeah.
You do. You do.
The,
okay.
Yep.
And so that's, I mean, I know with Nitrous Express, theirs had where it was hooked up to a AFR gauge. If the AFR went out of range of what you set it to, it would shut the system off. If it went over RPM, it would shut the system off. If it had so many safety features that it kind of made it feel a little bit more, you know, comfortable with me running it because it had that safety feature. You recommend that for anybody, you know, even running like 150 shot?
Yeah. Even if you don't have a progressive system that can do that, I mean, for $20, you can get it from Jag Summit anywhere. It's a fuel pressure shutoff switch.
Yeah, I had one of those also.
If fuel pressure drops too much, yeah, I still have one. I've had one on, actually, I think it's still my original one I bought 20 years ago. I've never changed it. Still works just fine. You know, if it drops below, you set it a preset at like 5.5-6 pounds. If fuel pressure drops, kills the nitrous system. I definitely recommend that to anybody. You know.
What I liked about the Nitrous Express one too was when you set the AFR parameters, it would also pulse the cans to, you know, try and correct for any kind of, you know, if you were a little bit off on your jets or something like that. So I thought that was kind of cool too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't guess. I've never played with the Elderbrock one.
No, this is the Nitrous Express one.
Nitrous Express. I'm sorry.
I tell you what, Hal Marvin Jr. took a look at all the stuff on the computer and stuff, and he's a big guy when it comes to nitrous. You know, he knows his stuff, and he was pretty impressed. He was like, "Dude, this thing does a lot of stuff, and it's pretty damn cool." So yeah, it was definitely neat, but. And by the way, guys, if you do need any Nitrous Express stuff, I will hook you up because VHS Series is a dealer, and we're giving you guys up to 20% off of what they list on their site. That can get pretty good in the savings department. So.
Oh yeah, 20% that pays for way more than the tax.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 9 times out of 10, I'll cover the shipping too. So hey,
there you go.
Yeah, man.
I got a question there for you. I was gonna try to dive into trying to learn tuning jet sizes for the, you know, primary and secondary circuit. Do you believe in secondary power valves or and doing square tuning? I know Jared Harlow touched base on that with me. He said, man, just put a secondary power valve in there and square the jet. So that power valve just adds, I think it adds 6 to 8 jet sizes. Do you have any knowledge or theory about that?
I mean, it just depends on the curve, if the curve's set up for it. I mean, if it's
gotcha. Yeah, I've got a Demon 650 when it only has primary power valve.
Well, if the rear metering plate don't have a black off in it, and it don't have four corner idling,
it does get the four corner. I don't know. Maybe I've not looked at it in a while. Maybe it's blocked off. It does get the four corner idle. It's a double pumper.
Okay. Well, if it's got four corner idle, and it does, if it's got room for a second power valve, then yeah, you can definitely do that. If you run two power valves, then you want to run it square. If you run, if you're just going to run it normal, then no, you run, it's between 6 to 8 sizes larger in the back. But if you square it off, yeah, if you've got a power valve in each, then you definitely square it off. Otherwise, you're going to be way out,
Way out. Gotcha, yeah. My plugs look awfully rich right now. I know I've had one check day on them and probably 3,000 street miles. I guess I need to start fresh, but I'm scared.
Oh, yeah, you
got to
check the plug after
every pass.
You check the plug.
And read it and cut it down. Cut it down at the end of the pass.
Yeah, 3,000 miles ain't going to tell you much.
No.
Yeah, mine are rich, so I'm afraid to do any tuning on it. I got some Subarus that think they can beat the old 388 in the eighth mile. So I'm afraid to do any tuning. I did 8 perfect passes last time at 799 to 809. So I'm afraid to tune on it when I got boys talking smack on me.
Right.
So we'll see. Maybe next trip. I'm trying to line up some Subarus that hate on some V8s.
They got them out there too, huh? We out in Colorado. They're all turbocharged out here, though. There's some of the stuff is scary. Some of that stuff you gotta be careful, brother.
They say they're 400 wheels, so I don't know. I don't even know if my truck makes 350 at the flywheel.
It may make more
than that. It should, but I don't know. It would be pretty embarrassing. I talk all this smack on Facebook, and then I get beat by 1.8 liter with a stock turbo.
with 57 pounds of boost.
yes, all of this. Yeah,
that's Jared Harlow kind of stuff right there.
57. Hollywood.
Hollywood Harlow. Wayne, he ain't on the show tonight?
He may be on the line here. 919, I think that's Sparkles, Gary Sparks. Hey, guys on the line, if you want to get in on this conversation before we go up there in 25 minutes, hit the number one button and we'll get to your call. We've got a couple people on the line now. So what else you got going on there, Nick? How are you holding on with all this COVID crap?
Oh, man, it's actually been good for my industry. I work in the water restoration business, so we do everything from water, fire, smoke, trauma, and catastrophe. So I've actually done one COVID claim so far.
Okay.
It's a pretty lucrative industry, so it feeds my family. It's been good, so I've actually been pretty busy and pretty blessed.
That's all that matters. It's good for you, man. Absolutely good for you.
How's your work with the Rob Home Improvement?
Young's Home Improvement, it's doing okay. Yeah, it's a little slow. Like I was saying, I got this one job I'm really on the fence about because they want me to climb through a window to get into their house, which is dumb as hell. But other than that, it's okay. I don't know. I'm not exactly enjoying what's going on. It's a little slow, but they're keeping me busy. So kinda.
Gotcha.
plus I got my. What's that?
Do y'all still have the food truck?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's still sitting in the driveway, but the food truck industry out here, and well, every event is canceled. All the big events out here are just done for the year. They just totally canceled out. They didn't even push them. So I'm kind of glad that I'm doing construction instead of the food truck. But Nick, let me put you on hold here. We got another caller on the line wants to talk to Dean. I will hold you over to the end of the show, and of course, we'll do our '80s party line. Hang on one second. Thanks for calling in. Great questions, man. Great questions for Dean over there. Definitely appreciate that. All right. No, Dean, did I hold? Did I put you on hold?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, cool. Area code 513. You're live on the air. Who's this?
Hey, it's Scotty Ham. How you doing, Rob?
Scotty Ham. Hey, what's going on there, tough guy?
Nah, not much. Just hanging out in the garage, and I saw you guys tagged me in the post, and I figured I'd call in.
Very awesome, man. Appreciate it. Here's another guy took advantage of the whole COVID thing, and you got that LS swap going on there, man. Very impressive. Heard the start up and run video. It sounds healthy, man. How are you doing? You happy with it?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. Came out of a 54,000 mile 2003 Yukon, I think it was. And
that thing's not even. It came with a warranty. Nice. I said that came with a warranty. That's great.
Yeah, it was just a oil pressure upon start warranty, which it had. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. And I took this thing apart when I was doing the intake swap and putting the muscle car pan on, and this thing is really clean on the inside.
Yeah, so mine had. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry I talked to him. No, I said mine had 80,000 or 88,000, and same thing. I took it off. I mean, it was like, you know, no sludge, no nothing. It was golden brown on the inside. You know, you can still see all the metal. There was no buildup of sludge or anything. Those LS motors, man. I know we're talking to Dean Cornfed, and we were talking, you know, he never got into the LS thing, and it took a lot to twist my arm, but, you know, well, here we are.
Right.
I've always had. Go ahead.
I was going to say, instead of going LS, I just decided to go with more cubic inch.
Yeah, see, I think that's one thing a lot of people get hung up on. You know, you really can make power with anything. It just depends on the money that you're going to throw at it. You know, you can make anything make power. It's just when you get to the point that you're limited by cubic inches, that's when you need to worry about what platform you're using. You know, if you need more cubic inches to make the power, then that's all it is. You know, I never got on the any kind of bandwagon. I've had first-gen small blocks, that big block and the big tire S10. I've had the LT1 and this thing. And the only reason I went LS is that LT1, it was just always kind of a basket case. That thing had a fucking curse on it. And I can never get away from it. There's always just some stupid little issue somewhere. It just no matter what I did, how much money I threw at it, there was an issue one after another. So I was like, you know what, man? I eventually want to just do a very simple single turbo build with an LS, with an ADE in this thing, and just drive it. And So I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and get the platform started. And I bought this engine. And here in Ohio, people are asking way too much money for this stuff. Like, you can find a 240,000 mile 4.8 and they're wanting $1,000 for it with no transmission.
Right. That sounds like Michigan, man. Ain't no kidding.
It was ridiculous, man. I must have looked probably, you know, usually when you go and you want to look for something and you got the money, you can buy something within a couple of days. You find something somewhere that'll make you happy. It took me probably every bit of 3 weeks just to find this 5.3. But I'm really happy with it so far. You know, for being the first time I've ever messed with one of these, they're super easy to work on.
Yeah, they're right. Love the gasket.
I really like about these.
You like that gasket, you know, the gasket on the front timing cover, and you don't have to slip it underneath the oil pan and all that kind of good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I was so happy about that.
Yeah, so, I started taking mine apart. I was like, dude, this is cool.
I might be biased, though, because I went out and bought me my first impact ever. I bought me a Milwaukee cordless, and so it made this thing a zip just to go through and work on, so I might just be biased because of that thing.
But yeah, we were talking about that.
So
we were talking about that. we keep stepping on each other.
I
guess
there might be a little bit of a delay here.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it might be. Yeah, we were talking about that, though. I was happy with my air tools, and you were telling me about that, so I might have to go out and get me one of those, too.
I'll tell you what,
I'm a lot of time, man.
Yeah. I got them, just a set of small ones, a small impact, the Makitas. They save you a lot of time.
Oh, yeah, well, I use that in construction. I may upgrade to the brushless one, but I got two sets of those Makitas, the drills and the impact drivers, and they're friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I love them. That's it. I got the 9. They're just little ones. I think the 9.6 brushless.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, I use them for just about anything, man. You know, zipping stuff apart, drilling holes, you know, whatever. They come in handy. Now, you guys talking about those turbos now and having a platform to build from, so that's what kind of, you know, when I was had my small block, you know, if to upgrade that any further without going turbo or anything like that would have been an extra 5,000, or, you know, just to get started. Well, so I stepped into this bigger platform, and then I started thinking about it and looking at these other guys, you know, you can't hardly touch these big blocks with these twin turbos and blow throughs. So you never know. Maybe in another year or two, I might step into something like that. Get away from nitrous.
Yeah, this year is actually going to be the first year I'm running any kind of a force induction. So I'll be running nitrous on this. So we'll see what brings.
Nothing
comes.
Wrong with that, man. I've been running nitrous for 25 years. I love this stuff.
Yeah, I got a nitrous sponsor through my group that has helped me out tremendously with this whole thing. So it's going to make it easy for me. I'm just some idiot half-assing this way through this stuff. So.
Well, you're doing a good job, man. It's looking good.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. So, we gotta mention. Scotty, tell us about Shitbox Nation. This thing has just blown up over the last, 6 months. Absolutely amazing. So how's things going over there at Shitbox Nation?
It's like trying to herd cats. You never make anybody happy. I get so many complaints and hate mail and everything else. Like, there's no doing anything to make people happy. So I'm just trying to make the best of it.
Jesus, hate mail.
Oh, dude, my inbox and my requests and spam and everything, it's just chock full. People being mad, like, why didn't you approve my post? Why didn't you do this? And it's like, man, I'm one guy. We got almost 250,000 people, and I've got 17 other people helping me run the group. I'm not the one doing everything.
A million people. Jesus.
We're up to like 245,000, so we're getting there.
Jesus, man.
It's neat. It's opened up a few doors for me. I'm getting networked with a couple of good people. Lyle Barnett. Do you know who Lyle Barnett is?
I do not.
Mm-hmm. Lyle Barnett, he owns the Beer Money Mustang. He won the first season of Horsepower Wars. He was on Netflix's Fastest Car Season 2.
No, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he's somebody. He's not, you know, John Forrest or anything, but he's pretty well known for what he's done. He's a pretty nice guy, and meeting people like him and the co-owner of the group, a guy that I brought on named Josh Watson. A lot of people didn't know this at the time, but for LMC Truck, I think he was like the R&D guy, the PR guy, and everything else. Like, if you ever seen them peddling stuff in between shows on Powerbox TV and stuff, he was a guy on the commercials.
Okay.
So between him and a couple of other big people, I'm starting to get to know a lot of the bigger names, and it's kind of neat. I mean, it's opened a lot of doors for me, but it's just organized chaos is all it is, man. It's funny some of the shit comes through there.
Oh, it's hilarious. You were talking about, you know, how it's nice that our group is so clean and everything. Yours is the The absolute opposite, I think. I jump into your group when I need a good laugh. I'll pick a controversial post and just read through the comments, and I have to laugh my friggin' ass off. You got the biggest bunch of comedians in there. They're just hilarious, man. It's still a good feel to the group, you know. I like it, but it's cool how you kind of just let things go and see what happens. And what happens is usually pretty friggin' hilarious.
Oh yeah, it's all by, you know, the idiot savant kind of thing. It's not that I've done anything special. I'm just not lucky. You know, there's a ton of stuff that gets through that happens in the group, and I don't personally want it, but I can't keep up with it. It's just so much going on. I think that like our block list alone for people that get in there, like racial comments or threatening people or posting people's personal information up to get to them.
Oh, Jesus.
I think our block list is probably like 6,000 deep at this point.
Oh, my Lord.
Like
I thought we were.
It's nutty, man.
I thought we were at a lot. We were like at 2,000 over 8 years or something.
Oh, man. I think we had like last month, we had over 3 million interactions with the group. So, but you know what, though, man? Like, VHS series, VHS Senators group is still my home group. And
oh,
I tell
yeah.
Everybody about it. I still wear the hoodie. You know,
absolutely.
Really love the group, man. It's so organized, and people are nice, treat each other decent for the most part. Like,
yep,
my group
yep.
is like, hey, what oil should I run? I'm completely new. Does anybody have good advice? And people are like, kill yourself. You know, could you mount traffic?
Damn.
Dude, it is. It's friggin' hilarious, man. His group has definitely brought out the best and worst in society. there are some.
Bad.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Like
it's
I said, there's
bad.
Some good information, and but you can tell when you read the. Oh yeah, when you read the original post, you're like, oh, this is going to be a good one.
Wow.
But we got guys in there. We got one guy who lives in Canada, and he's like a hermit that lives by himself. Can't remember what part. I think it's Alberta, out in the middle of nowhere. And he's like an oil field mechanic. And he lives by himself. He's not married. He's got one daughter. It's grown. And this guy makes a hobby out of building big V8 cubic inch V8 gas engines. And he's got like, I don't know. There's one. It's like an 882, some kind of crazy gas engine. It's in an F-250 dually. And he just builds all these big, crazy, high horsepower, you know, 12.5-to-1 static compression ratio, gigantic big box. And it's funny, he goes out there these absolute beater piece of shit trucks, and he's out there just absolutely annihilating people that have like brand new Mustang GTs and stuff. It's hilarious. To the
nice.
Big crew cab, 8,000-pound truck, and he's just out murdering stuff in it. It's neat.
Now,
a lot of really random shit that comes through there.
What would you say? What would you say is the craziest build you've seen in your group there, Scotty?
Man, that's a tall order. That's like asking.
No, I know it
is.
I know.
man, I've seen one guy. This is one that always kind of sticks with me for some reason. He took an ambulance. He got an old ambulance at an auction, and he cut down the body off it, made it a single cab, and he took the ass into the van and put it up there and made it towards just a single cab by itself. It's got the two frame rails going up back to the rear end, and it's got a wing on the back of this thing the size of a picnic table. And he's got a twin turbo Thermax under the hood, and he uses it for a drift fan. He goes out and does drifting events with it.
No, oh, Jesus.
And you just name it. There's actually a short bus, like a legitimate like Head Start for kids or special needs people, like short bus,
yeah,
with
yeah.
two wheels in the back of the wheels. And these guys took I think it's an LS, I'm not sure, I think it was like a 6-liter LS, and they put a twin turbo setup on it, and they got it pulling wheelies on the fucking road.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, they just got so much. I could sit here all day talking.
Oh,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Well, that's Shitbox Nation. You guys want to head over and check that out and get approved over there. That's some good stuff. Good stuff. Scotty, we all got to get together, man. And do another event, maybe together or something. Definitely got to get together, man. All us V8S series guys have to party again. So after this COVID crazy crap, we'll hopefully get something going. Probably not this year because everybody's still going to be recovering, but next year maybe we'll get something going on the East Coast over there.
It'd be fun, man. Did you hear what happened to, of course, everybody's heard what happened to Nick out there at the Dirty 30. No, I think this whole COVID-19 thing, I think it's, we're supposed to take it seriously, but not as serious as we have been. You know, I sat down and, like, a lot of people local to me out here are really freaked out by it. You know, everybody's wearing gloves and masks and everything, and that's totally fine. I have no problem with people being safe.
Yeah.
But the Caroline County Public Health Authority released the COVID-19 numbers, like, 2 weeks ago at the height of the COVID scare. And it's like, oh, my God, there's 78 people who have it that have confirmed cases, and there are two deaths. And I got online and looked at the census and seen what the population of Claremont County was, and it's like 204,000 people.
Yeah.
And I look around at this county, and I'm like, why is everything shut down for something that's only really affected two people?
Yep. Yeah, I think in the state of Colorado, we're up to like 500 deaths, and that's in the entire state of Colorado. So, you know, it's, I think they're overhyping it. The news is not doing any good. Facebook is blocking real information for their whole shit. And, you know, it's just making people think the sky is falling, and it's not good for the economy. It's not good for people. It's not good for their mental health or anything else. So we just need to open back up America. Call your congressman, call your mayor, call your governor, call everybody, man. Just tell them, dude, enough is enough. Open this shit back up. But I think you're going to see a lot of people are, you know, I just saw the news today. Somebody was arrested because they opened up their business. I think there's going to be a backlash because we can't keep going like this. We all need to work. So
no,
that's my
that
two cents.
Families, and they got medicine they got to get, and all of a sudden they don't have insurance. They got the waiting period to get on Medicaid and everything. It's a mess. You know, out there at what happened at the Edgewater over the weekend. So Dick Winley owned Edgewater out here in Cincinnati, or Cleves, I should say, Cleves, Ohio. And he passed away in December. And the track has been more or less just horribly neglected for decades. So
yeah.
The people that are running it now, they went out and spent probably millions of dollars. They repaved the entire track, updated all the facilities, and put a lot of time and money in this. And then they had Nick out there, who unfortunately had an accident. And on top of that, they got not permission, but they asked like the health authorities and local police and everything and what they were able to do. And they kind of said it was just a gray area, use your best judgment. So they had as small amount of people there as they could. Everybody had personal protective equipment. And it wasn't like a live event where they're opening up for business and making money. So Nick had his accident. And then the first thing I saw on the news was whoever was running the facility at the time got arrested. We come to find out that was a complete and total lie. The person who was running the facility did not get arrested.
Yep.
You know, it's
I was reading that story. I was reading that story before we got on the air there. Bill Hoskinson was posting about that. So it's absolutely not true. And that's what I mean. They're not – for those of you who don't know – I mean, you can go on YouTube and look it up. It's Fox News versus Monsanto, and it's a Supreme Court thing. There's a whole thing to it, but it was determined in the end that the news organizations are not held to any standard where they have to tell you the truth. It is entertainment. They can lie to you, and they are not responsible for it. So it's
exactly.
You know. Take it with a grain of salt. You know, they're owned by big major corporations. And if it's in their best interest to tell you something, if they're going to make money off of it, they will. And that's just all there is to it. So always use your best judgment. Try to reach out to different sources and try and figure out what's going on. Just don't get on Facebook or turn on Fox News or NBC or CBS or, you know, any of them. Try and go with some independent stuff. So, but anyway.
Yeah, that's the problem with information today is you'll have 10 people telling you one thing, 5 people telling you another, and 2 more telling you all that's fake.
Yep.
So it's
yep.
really hard being at the we're in the age of information, and there's more misinformation than there is anything.
Yeah.
But
yep.
you know, at the end of the day, it's especially like right now, guys like us, or a lot of other people in the performance aftermarket industry. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are suffering horribly right now. Nobody's wanting to buy anything. Nobody's buying converters. Nobody's buying small parts. You know, and it's things are going to change here in the next couple of years because of that. There's so many small businesses that are going under right now, and it's terrible, man. You know, it's bad for guys like us. This is our perfect time of the year. You know,
it is.
Friday,
it
we
is.
Be at the track having fun, supporting local businesses, restaurants, and everything else. You know, now I'm stuck.
Yep.
All I got is a Draggy GPS. You ever heard of the Draggy GPS before, Rob?
No, I've heard about it. That's that new GPS that measured your 0 to 60 and your quarter mile and all that stuff?
It measures pretty much everything. You can do 8th mile, quarter mile, your 330, G-forces, where your 60-foot is, and it's accurate within a tenth of what you would get at the track in most cases.
Okay.
So,
and what'd that
so
thing cost you?
I think it was like $150.
That's not bad at all.
It's,
and what's this product called? What's it called?
Dragging. So Draggy, D-R-A-G-G-Y, GPS. It's just a high-precision GPS made for automotive guys like us.
Okay. We'll have to check that out.
It's
especially...
Man, I'm going to be... go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're going to be what?
No, I'm just saying I'm not going to be able to race at the track anytime soon. So that's going to be my go-to is to go to my little spots around here and go out and make a few pulls and hopefully find somebody local to go out and run with. And that's another thing, too, with closing the tracks down. There's a lot of guys like me that are just still going to go do it. It's just not going to be in a safe environment.
Yeah, and that's where it's guys reopen. I mean, you know, we never condone street racing. We know it happens, but you know, it's better to do it on a track. But you know, it's getting to the point where screw it. If you need a drag race, you need a drag race. If it's in your blood, you're not going to stop somebody. So I don't know. 6-1
yeah,
half dozen out there.
But we enjoy the hell out of it. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cash days is my favorite. That's some good stuff, man. Happening all over the country, and you'll never stop that. I don't care what kind of virus you release on the people. We'll be doing it until the day we're dead. But, yeah. Well, guys, let me put you on hold. We're going to do our end of show, a little Joe Diffie pickup, man. Stick around after the song here, and we will be doing the 80s. Chat line. Let me put you guys on hold here. So that's it for this week. I want to thank Dean Cornfed Vargo for calling in. Let us know. I want to thank Nick for calling in. Great questions there. You guys hit us up next week every hump day, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. If it gets a little more popular, we'll do like a 2-hour show. But definitely appreciate you guys calling in. Definitely appreciate you listening online. We had quite a few people download the show after it was aired, and we'll keep doing it if you keep going. So that's it. Little Joe Diffie, rest in peace, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man. When I turned 16, I saved a few $100. My first car was a pickup truck. I was cruising the town and the first girl I see was Bobby Joe Gentry, the homecoming queen. She flagged me down and climbed up in the cab and said, I never knew you were a pickup man. You can set my truck on fire and roll it down a hill, and I still wouldn't trade it for a Coupe de Ville. I got an 8-foot bed that never has to be made. You know, if it weren't for trucks, we wouldn't have tailgates. I met all my wives in traffic jams. There's just something women like about a pickup man. truck on an old Chase Lounge. Backed into my spot at the drive-in show. You know, a cargo light gives off a romantic glow. I never have to wait in line at the popcorn stand, cause there's something women like about a pickup man. You can set my truck on fire and roll it down a hill, and I still wouldn't trade it for a Coupe Bill. I got an 8-foot bed that never has to be made. You know, if it weren't for trucks, it wouldn't have tailgates. I met all my wives in traffic jams. You're just something women like.
Great show, guys. Awesome. Hear myself hanging right there. There we go. I'm back on the phone. What's up, man? Thanks, Dean. Dude, that was awesome. I liked Nick calling in. He had some good questions for you.
Yeah.
They keep going smoother and smoother each show, so it's always
right
good.
On.
We actually had quite a few people downloaded after. Dude, I got somebody in Australia that listens to the show. Somebody over in Ireland. I'm like, Jesus Christ, are you serious? That's pretty cool.
Right.
Because I can see the demographics from all over the country of people that call or that download the show or that call in. So.
Right.
Pretty neat, man.
That's
pretty neat.
Cool.
Oh, so who else is on the line?
Ben Irvin.
Ben Irvin, what's up, little Benny? How you doing, man?
Oh, not much. Taking a break from working in the garage.
Yeah, what you doing?
Oh, I've been working on the garage itself, actually, putting up some new lights and redoing the ceiling and stuff and whatnot. Still kind of fixing up a few things here and there ever since the fire was going on, and kind of took a break from working on the trucks and whatnot. Decided to revamp the garage a little bit and then give it a spring cleaning inside and kind of get back onto the trucks again.
That's what I'm about to do tomorrow. Mine's just a mess because of, you know, winter time and construction and stuff like that. So I'm just, and plus I'm a mess when it comes to putting my crap away. One lesson I never learned as a kid, man, put your stuff away and then you'll find it. Yeah. No, that shit don't work for me. I'm terrible.
Son, finally my son.
Like, yeah. Who's that?
Damn. What's that?
Yeah, I mean, dude, my stepfather used to yell at me all the time. And the full set of nice Snap-on tools, and I'd be like, you know, I don't know. Where'd you leave it? I don't know. Here, I didn't know it was
right.
A freaking $250 ratchet. It was just, it was a ratchet. It's not a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
Or is it all going to go back exactly where it is? Because I can find it the next time. No, never learned that lesson. I'm terrible. I'm not a slob inside my house. Everything's clean. It's just my garage is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
all right,
you know,
guys. I'm going to jump off here.
All right. Hey, Dean, I appreciate you, man.
All right, brother. No problem. We'll talk at you later.
We'll holler at you soon, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Nope.
See you, bye.
All right, bye.
See you, Ben.
See you later.
So what else you got going on, Ben? Who else is online?
Oh, I'm just... I don't know who else is on here. Anybody?
Maybe me and you. It'd be a short party line.
Yeah. Well, shit, I've just been working on the garage and then the two S10s a little bit. Just started putting the engine back together for the primer S10, the one that used to be red that burned up. We revamped the engine for it and got it down there at Steve Lawrence's garage, his machine shop. We've been kind of working on it and redoing the block inside and doing some stuff. And
nice.
Just started putting it together a little bit. Got the crank in it and mains all torqued down and everything, spinning freely and whatnot. And then we ran out of time for that night. And then hopefully I can get a day, maybe this Sunday I can go down there, work on it again, get the whole bottom end put together, hopefully. Get at least a short block put together, maybe. And
Nice. Yeah, Steve, I'm going to have to get in contact with Steve. I want to have him on the show and talk about heads and stuff like that.
Oh my god, that guy's a freaking whiz.
Is he a guru?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy, he just, it's like all he wants to mess with is cylinder heads, and he knows all kinds of shit about them, just like, and it's like stuff that nobody else would even think of. You know, why would you even need to know that? Oh, well, for what he does with them, he has to know everything. And it's
nice.
And it's just shit he just has memorized about every kind of different cylinder head. He has like this obsession with just wanting to like flow people's, you know, products, you know, like he wants to flow all the different kinds of AFR heads and Edelbrock heads and Brodix heads and stuff. And he has a notebook where he's got all the flow ratings for each kind of cylinder head that he's flowed, that he's had come through his shop, to see which one flows out better, you know. And then whenever he rebuilds a head or modifies one, he makes sure that he can outflow, you know, something else or what it did previously and everything else. And, you know, he's always kind of got that goal of trying to be able to get cylinder heads that flow really good already, and he wants to just enhance them even more. He's always just kind of always wanting to get more out of them than what they're supposed to put out. And then he also kind of likes to call out other companies that offer that they list flow numbers, you know, and then whenever he actually does a flow bench test on them, they don't really perform like they say they should.
Nice. Nice little, what's the word I'm talking about? Like, he's policing the industry just to make sure they're on the up and up. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all about thunderheads.
I know who to see about getting some head work done then.
That's what I'm saying, man. I want to promote Steve. So, y'all send your stuff to him. Cause I know he's always excited, man. When he gets something new and he posts the flow numbers or what flow numbers he wound up getting, he's always excited about it. I think it's cool as hell.
Yeah, that'll see his shop. He's got cylinder heads just laying around everywhere, just stacked up, laying someplace. Jeez. Or laying on cylinder heads that are laying around for somebody or something or other. And his, you know, and it's not just Chevy ones either. He's got Ford heads and you know, Chryslers and whatnot and everything else. Probably the least number head that he had is LS heads. He don't have a whole lot of those that he goes through.
Yeah, go figure. They flow pretty good on their own.
I'd like to see what he could do with a set of heads already, you know, just with, you know, if they flow good now, I'd like to see what he could do with them.
Yeah. I'd love to do like a comparison, just, you know, take something, you know, like my truck, tune it to where it just gets, you know, whatever it's going to get out of it, send the heads out, slap them back on and see what it does. You know, just do a real world comparison.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know the guy knows his stuff, man. He's been doing it for quite a while.
He did the Brodix heads that's going to go on my engine. And we just kind of been tinkering on it and working on it down there at his shop, and been kind of trying to do it under the weather there for a little, under the radar. And then one night, freaking Steve just kind of goofed up, I guess. He said he wasn't really thinking about it. He forgot all about trying to keep it under wraps, but hell, I didn't tell anybody that I had pulled the motor out of my truck and had it all tore apart or anything. I was still posting pictures of it with the motor still in it that I'd taken probably 1 month before that, acting like it was, you know, just recent or whatever.
Ah, fake news.
Oops.
Next thing I know, I have Mitch Nichols messaging me saying, hey, when'd you get the motor out of your truck? What are you doing with that? Just kind of just freshening it up a little bit. He's like, oh, bullshit. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oops.
So then I had Keith on there. He was messaging me. He said, hey, I heard you had the engine out of your truck. What are you building now? I'm like, no, that's just the same engine. Just going through it, changing bearings and freshening it up and everything, checking stuff out. So yeah. He's like, I believe that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a good time at keeping stuff under wraps with mine, because, you know, if I go big single or, you know, twins on mine, I want to bring it to the East Coast because, you know, Jeff's got his, and of course, he always wants to race me. He's always calling me out. It'd take a lot for me to put this thing on a trailer and bring it to the East Coast. It better have a ton of power in it because Jeff will whoop my ass right now. He's doing pretty good with that Blazer in his pickup truck. So I'm going to get back into it. Like I was saying, I was telling Dean, you know, now that I have a work truck, I think I'm just going to go, you know, yeah, I can take the cruises and stuff like that, but I want to build a monster too. I want to build something quick. I mean, I got the trans, I got the motors good, put a couple twins on it, you know, put a cage in it and have some fun finally.
Yeah, I still haven't got a cage in mine yet. I probably need to.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I'm not really too worried about it because I'm not really a track guy. I mean, it'd be cool to go down the track, but I don't know. I'm still on the fence on which direction I want to go, just fast street truck or just, you know, something I can take to the track every once in a while and not get kicked out.
Yeah.
Of course, up here, you got to have a ton of power to get to that point where you need to cage it because the air is so thin up here, but I'll probably do it. I'm looking at Lonnie's trans brake, he's got that billet 480 trans brake reverse valve body. I want to stick that in there because I'm sick of, I don't know what the hell my transmission's doing. I've tried to get into the tables and change around and stuff like that. But it, no matter what I do, it keeps hitting the rev limiter in first gear, and it drives me nuts, man. I was racing some, but speaking of that, some little Subaru or something like that, man. And I had him, and then that bitch bounced off the rev limiter in first gear, and he just come by me, a son of a bitch. Feel like an idiot sitting there in first gear, bah, 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 bah. God damn it, switch to second gear. But I figured out that'll cure my problem there.
Man, I'm looking for a power glide, I think, maybe to switch to. Because I know the transmission that I've got now isn't going to be able to hold what I'm getting ready to assemble.
Yeah.
If well, I'm building right now, Steve's house will actually stay together. I don't know. It's kind of,
hell yeah.
He's kind of on the fence. He said he's like, man, I can't believe you're even putting this engine all together. I said, why? He said, because with the amount of power you're probably going to end up making, he said, you're probably going to end up breaking one of the main journals out of the block.
Oh, well, that's not encouraging.
I said,
going into it.
I said, surely not on motor. He said, well, maybe. He said, it's a good possibility. He's like, you're kind of right there on the fence. You know.
Oh,
you're about to reach the borderline on your what your block's going to handle. He's like, and now you got Bob Glass in your ear telling you about spraying it. and he's like, you don't need to spray this motor. He's like, it'll do everything you need it to do on motor. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, you might need to spray it with 100 shot or something. He's like, no, just don't do that because we're going to, because then you'll be bringing it back here and we'll be tearing it apart, trying to salvage what parts we can out of it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, listen to your motor builder. Don't listen to Bob. Love Bob. Bob just wants to see you go boom. No.
Well, Bob, I don't know what Keith's got going on over there, but he made a post on his Facebook about with his motor saying that, you know, Bob was not building this motor or something or other, and didn't build this motor or something or other and whatnot. And I was talking to Bob just not too long ago, and he was talking about how he was putting the bottom end together for Keith's engine. So I don't know what the heck they're doing.
More fake news.
Yeah, more fake news.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. There's a bunch of – there's a big controversy going on around out there or something or other. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
I know the motor that's in Keith's truck right now is one of Bob's motors that he let him borrow and just to let him run. But I was sitting there watching the videos of it, and I count from, you know, as soon as he'd take off to the stripe or whatever, and like, he's only running about 7 seconds or a little bit slower.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, shoot. Like, that's not really all that fast. So, I don't know. And now, I was talking to Bob, telling him about different things that I was doing with my engine and whatnot. And then Keith goes out and goes and buys him a new set of aluminum heads to put on his engine.
Nice.
They're only 50 cc compression chambers, and I think he's going to be about 14 to 1.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah. I'm only going to be about 13 and a half almost.
Okay.
But I got a lot more intake and a lot more carb than what Keith's going to be running.
Yeah.
And Bob was saying Keith only got a 750 CFM double pumper on his, and I'm going to be running over 1,300.
Really?
So.
Done damn.
Yeah. 2660 center squirter.
Graduating into the big boys.
Oh, yeah, I guess. That's. I don't know. I bought those heads, and I was going to put them on the engine, and then I started to kind of tear the top end of the engine apart. I still had the short block laying there, and I was thinking, man, if I do all this, I really ought to just upgrade the cam in this engine to be able to, you know, make a little bit more power out of it to, you know, suit the...
I'd be more worried about there. Upgrading that block.
Well, that's why I was looking at stud girdles and stuff for the main journals to try to tie them all together and make it a little bit more stiffer down there.
Maybe some splayed caps.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Splayed bone caps.
Well, the problem with splaying the caps on a 400, you make the block a little bit weaker if you don't get them in the right spot exactly. You still
really?
A little bit.
I had one of those old 400s in my Camaro. Yeah, man. I spun a rod bearing on that sumbitch twice, man. They're great motors, but... With them old steamer heads and stuff, yeah. That was when I was a lot younger. That was my car when I was 18. Hurt a lot of feelings in that car, though. That's fun.
Yeah. I wish I could afford a freaking Motown block or a Dart block or something, but damn, that's $1,700 just for a block by itself, and you got to get machine work done to it and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'll stick with my 010 block.
Of course, if I did that, I'd probably build me a setup like Billy Hoskinson's got with a turbo.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That was
my idea would be to run twin turbos and keep my tunnel ram intake that I've been running, and then just put two blow-through carburetors on top, and one turbo would feed the one carburetor on front, and then the other turbo would go up and feed the other carburetor on the back.
Jeez. That sounds like it'd be hard to get everything calibrated.
Mm. Oh, it's already hard now. I can't even imagine how much of a nightmare it'd be.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool.
it'd be interesting, be unique, that's for sure. That's for sure. Oh, all right, guys, I'm gonna call it. I gotta eat dinner here. Yeah. I appreciate y'all calling in, and of course you, Butchie. That's every week. How you feeling? Man? You feeling good?
Oh yeah, I'm all right. I'm still kicking.
Good deal.
I'm still kicking, just not as high. But I'm all right. Ain't got the Rona yet. Knock on wood.
No Rona. No
Rona.
Same here. No friggin' Rona. All right, gentlemen, I'm gonna let you go. We're gonna do it again next week. If you happen to talk to Steve, well, I'm going to send him a message and try and get him on the show next week. I know a lot of people, if I promote it, a lot of people have a lot of questions for him.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So. All right, guys.
All right. Y'all have a good one, man.
You too, man. Have a good night. Take care.
Bye. Bye.